This episode of Disability Beat is pre-recorded. This is Disability Beat, a public affairs program for and about people with disabilities. It's about social justice, community supports, inclusion, accessibility, freedom, and choice. My name is Vicki Nicewander, and I'm the host of this program and also the parent of a fantastic young woman with a disability.
The views and opinions expressed here are those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent those of WEFTA's Board of Directors, Associate Station Manager, or Prairie Air Incorporated.
And you are listening to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. I'm Vicki Nicewander, joined today by my guest, Robbie Hart. Robbie is, as I mentioned just before the show started, a singer-songwriter who hails now from New York City, but was originally from Montreal. Robbie has a story to tell about her disability and about her advocacy and activism regarding disabilities rights. So stay tuned. For that, I'm going to play just a little bit of a song that Robbie wrote first to start out with, and she'll talk a little bit about it when she's on the air in just a moment.
You don't know me or where I'm from, seen the challenges that I've overcome. I fought wars no one knows about, but virtue and grace keep my feet on the ground. This shining light born from darkness and the pain makes me come alive. From invisible to invincible, nothing scares me anymore. All this branding's got me leaving struggles on the floor. Dusting off the ashes from the flames that came before. Through the smoke you'll see me clearly, not the same I was before. If you feel like you can't get through, come on over and try on these boots. Walk with some swagger, dance to your blues. Nothing to fear, ain't got nothing to lose. This shining light born from darkness and the pain makes me come alive. Nothing scares me anymore.
Yes, you are listening to Disability Beat. We're playing a little bit of music today because we have a special guest on the program, Robbie Hart, who is a singer-songwriter, but also experiences disability in her life and is trying to make change through her advocacy and activism. Welcome to the program, Robbie.
Thank you so much for having me.
So why don't you introduce yourself, and we'll talk a little bit about your history and how you came to disability activism after you talk about your early life. How did you become a singer? What was that all about? And a little bit of your history.
Okay, thank you so much. So I'm Robbie Hart. I'm a singer-songwriter originally from Montreal, Canada. I currently live in New York, as you mentioned earlier. It was always my dream to be a singer ever since I was a little girl. It was just my dream. It was something I had put aside until I got settled and my life got a little bit steady so that I could pursue that dream. In 2007, I moved to New York to get married. And 1 year later, we were expecting. This was no doubt the happiest time of my life. I was on top of the world. But unfortunately, all that changed very suddenly. My life came to a grinding halt a few short months later after I was badly injured. And as a result of my severe pain and injury, I lost my ability to sing. So in addition to being in physical pain and emotional situation, going through all of this, I couldn't sing my way through my pain. And as a human growing up ever since I was a little girl, I used to tell my stories through singing. That was my way of communicating with people. It was through song. It was through belting through the pain or singing at the top of my lungs with joy. And here I was going through this most difficult challenge of my life where I was physically in excruciating pain. I was in a brand new place where I didn't know anybody. And I was, at this time pregnant. And then a little bit later, I had my daughter. And I was in this brand new place and I was completely isolated. I couldn't really communicate with people, and I couldn't soothe myself through music, which was how I would soothe my pain.
Well, that's a good question. You said you lost your singing voice, but were you also unable to speak for a while?
I was able to speak, but a lot of the times it would come out incoherently because I had such nerve pain and nerve issues that, I would stutter and, repeat myself constantly. Mm. So it was just a very difficult and challenging experience just to communicate, but I could speak. I mean, I was able to speak, but it wasn't easy for me at the time. And also I didn't have that many people to speak to because my husband was always working and I was by myself the whole time. So it was a very difficult time for me. And through this whole situation, this lasted for several years. I was in excruciating pain and I went through multiple procedures. I went through surgery. I had very high hopes that I was going to be okay and I'd be able to get my life back together. And it just didn't happen. And it was a very difficult time. And as this went on, we're talking 7 years now, I just didn't even recognize the person I was anymore. I wasn't that vibrant, outgoing person that I used to be. I was a shadow of who I was. And I had lost hope that my life was ever going to go back to normal. And meanwhile, at home, I had this daughter who had grown up to be 7 years old. So even though my life stood still and came to a grinding halt, she was growing up and becoming this incredible young lady. And all she'd ever seen of me was mom at home on the couch in pain, and I couldn't do very much. Mm-hmm. She and my husband would go out and they'd do activities, and I wouldn't go with them. I would just sit on the couch. They would go and do things. And, I would either sit in the car if I could and just observe what they were doing, but I couldn't take part in what they were doing. I wasn't part of what they were experiencing. I was just existing, and it was a really uncomfortable time for me because physically I was in a great deal of pain and I couldn't do very much. And it was just really, really difficult.
Yeah.
And one day it hit me, my daughter's 7 years old. This is the only way she's ever seen me. And I'm like, it would really hurt me to think that she didn't know who I was before this. I mean, I had incredible jobs. I have done amazing things in my life before I moved to New York. And for her to think that this is just all I'm ever going to do, it just broke my heart. And she didn't know my fighting spirit. She didn't know my outgoing personality. She just knew mom was at home on the couch. And I realized that I wanted to teach her that when life gets hard and when you fall down or when you come to an obstacle, you have to get up and you have to keep fighting. And I realized the only way I could really show her that is if I did it myself. And I said, you know what? I've always wanted to sing. It was my biggest dream. And it really hurt me that I couldn't sing for all of those years. I felt like I had been silenced for several years. I said, I'm going to go out there and pursue my dream to sing, no matter how difficult it is. Because I want her to see what it looks like for mom to go out there and chase her dream, no matter how many doors get slammed in her face, no matter how unlikely it is, no matter who's going to laugh at me if I get up there in front of people and I sing and I have to hold on to the curtains. I didn't care. I just said, I want her to be proud of me. I want her to see me going out there and going for it. Because I felt that if she saw me doing that and fearlessly pursuing my dreams, I knew she'd be able to do the same thing in her life, yeah, no matter what happens in her life down the line. And that was what gave me the motivation to chase my dream to sing. And I haven't looked back ever since. So, and it's just been an absolutely incredible journey.
So when you, before you had your accident, before you became injured, were you a professional singer at that point, or was it something you were just thinking about doing?
So I had done classical training in high school. I had done singing my whole life. Mm-hmm. But I also had a job because I had to support myself and
of course.
I had to have responsibilities. So unfortunately, I wasn't able to pursue it as actively as I had hoped. But I was like, you know, when we get married and when things settle down, I'll be in a new place with more opportunities because it's New York, and I'll have an opportunity to pursue my dream. But unfortunately, that didn't happen. But right. what I didn't realize was going through all of this was going to give me this burning passion to chase this dream no matter how hard it was. Like even earlier when I had the opportunity, I was like, oh, I'll wait for a day when it's better, when the timing is right, you know, and you just push it off until something falls into place and you're like, okay, now I'll do it. But it wasn't until I absolutely couldn't do it and all of my options were out that I was like, you know, I'm going to do this right now because I have nothing to lose.
And I
have absolutely nothing to lose.
I don't think that's unusual for a person who has an acquired disability. Something happens to you in your life and it changes everything. And a lot of people go through that period of depression and, you know, my life is over and I'm not going to be able to do anything. But how great that your daughter inspired you to make
Absolutely.
That difference.
Absolutely. She gave me reason to rise. And I actually put that into a song called Reason to Rise because I found my purpose throughout this whole pain situation, this whole experience. Through the pain, I found my purpose, and it gave me a reason to rise. It gave me that push that I needed to get out there. And now I do it not only for myself, but I want to show anybody who's out there who's suffering or who's hesitating to pursue their dreams because they think that they're not in the perfect shape or maybe there's something different about them or they have a difference that they're afraid it's going to hinder their opportunities. I want to tell them to go out there and live their life, their best life right now. Because there's never a good time to chase your dream. You have to do it now. You have to do it while you can enjoy it. And if you have a difference, embrace your uniqueness because that's what makes you you. And there's only one you.
Yeah. Have you?
And I've met.
Go
I'm
ahead.
Sorry. Go ahead.
No. Go. You go.
Well, I was just going to say to what you were saying is through this journey, I've met so many people who've had to endure hardships or medical emergencies to go out there and live their best life. And I want people to know that they can do it without having to go through that first. Like, I want to encourage people to just make the most of their opportunities because they have a gift to share and somebody wants to hear what they have to say.
Yeah. So have you experienced since this disability happened to you, how long ago did you say?
It was in 2008.
So a few years now.
Yeah.
It took you a number of years just to get adjusted to your new situation. And then when you got back into the field of, you know, being a singer-songwriter again, what were some of the barriers that you experienced due to your disability?
There were many. And just physiologically, like, I couldn't take in breath because I was in so much pain that if I breathed in, it would put pressure on my spine and it was just so painful. So I had to learn how to take in air kind of slowly and not, you know, very eagerly to mm-hmm. it because every time I would breathe in, it hurt and it was excruciatingly painful. So just moving my mouth to the music and timing that with the breathing was really hard at first. But then as it got a little bit easier, I started saying to myself, it's coming back. It's coming back. It's like riding a bicycle. You know, you get back up and you just keep on pedaling. And that's how I felt. But as I started singing, singing, I became me, and I remembered who I was before all of those years, as if those years hadn't happened, which was absolutely incredible. But there are other barriers, like, you know, people, we live in a world that's very airbrushed and very artificial intelligence handed, if you will, like everybody's perfect. So naturally, I was reluctant to put myself out there because I was like, I had a very bad limp at the time. I still have a limp, but it's not quite as noticeable. I walk with a cane, and I actually walked slanted at the time. And I was like, these people are going to laugh at me the second I try to get up on stage. And I was like, wait, how do I even get up on stage? I won't have a hand to hold the microphone, or I'll have to hold a curtain so I don't fall down. And I would have conversations with my legs, and I would say, okay, legs, don't fail me now. I'm going to get up. I'm going to try to walk up to the stage. Please don't let me fall. Let me at least get to something I can lean on or hold on to. And so that was a big barrier, because I was a little bit embarrassed. I was a little shy and self-conscious. But then once I did it, I was like, I don't care. I'm here and I'm doing this. And to be honest with you, I didn't have anybody really say anything to me that was terrible, except for one person who said to me, oh, they didn't tell me you had a cane. And I said, that's okay, because I'm going to out-sing everybody here, but that's okay. And he comes everywhere with me, so it's okay. My cane comes with me everywhere I go. And people have been amazing. In fact, I've actually noticed that a lot of the time I'll be talking to somebody in person and I'll be standing right next to them. I'll be having a long conversation and then I'll get up to walk away and they'll say, I didn't even notice that you had a cane, because they were so engaged in what I was saying. They didn't take notice of the fact that I had a cane that I was leaning on for support. And I said, you know, that's actually really good, because for years I was embarrassed about it. And I thought people are going to, you know, make comments because I'm walking with a cane. And sometimes it's difficult to manage when you're doing things or holding things or reaching for things or getting up out of your seat. And there's things that logistically are more difficult that you have to work around, but you get used to it. And people are really wonderful. People are so wonderful. And you just look for the smiling faces and the helping hands, and you focus on those people, and you don't worry about the people who have something to say, because they'll have something to say no matter what.
Yeah. Well, I know that there are tons of performers out there who are aspiring performers who have disabilities, and some who are successful already who have disabilities. Are you connected with any other performers that have disabilities at all?
I actually do. I have had the privilege of meeting a lot of them, because over the past few years, I've gotten to know Daniel's Music Foundation in New York City, and they're an incredible organization who empower individuals with disabilities through the power of music, and they do incredible events to raise disability awareness and acceptance. So through them and their events, I have met so many incredibly talented musicians. I've met people through Instagram and Facebook, and I've just connected with them. And as well as when I've gone to events, I've met other individuals that are, you know, that have various disabilities. And even in the sports world, I've met athletes with disabilities. And I think at the end of the day, it's just so inspiring to meet somebody who has every reason not to do something, but they're doing it, and they're doing it so passionately. It makes you want to be a better person.
Mm-hmm. Were you a songwriter before your accident, or did that happen after? And how did your disability affect your songwriting?
That's a really good question. So I used to write songs, but I actually never put it into a song. So I wrote songs, but none of them ever materialized into a song. It wasn't until I started taking voice lessons, when I first started my journey, which was like in 2017, I was taking lessons to get my voice back, and I started writing a lot. And the first song that I wrote was a song called Don't Count Me Out Just Yet. And it was a song that was telling the world that I might not look the way I used to, I might not act the way I used to, but don't count me out just yet, because I still have so much to give and I haven't left my mark just yet. And that was the premise of the song. And that was the first song that I wrote, recorded, released, and performed live. And it was so incredibly satisfying to be able to see that whole process through, because I never imagined that I'd be able to sing again, let alone write a song, record the song, perform the song, release the song, and have it playing on streaming platforms and on radio stations. It was the most incredible feeling in my life, because I felt that it gave me an opportunity to share my message, which resonated with so many people. And I let them know that they weren't alone, and it was just amazing. It had such a great ripple effect, and it just made me want to write more and record more songs.
Yeah. And your songs are really, I haven't heard them all yet, but I am digging in and listening more.
Thank you.
So, yeah.
You know, you can be sure that all of the songs that I've written or I've co-written, except for the covers, of course, they're all based on my experiences. So anything you hear that I've written, it's something I've gone through, whether it's happy, whether it's sad, whether it's empowering. They're all experiences that I've taken and turned into messages of hope. Because I know that if I've gone through those situations, somebody else out there has also. And I want to connect with them through the power of music.
Sure. We started the show with Sawdust on the Floor. You want to talk a little bit about that song?
Thank you. And thank you for playing it. I love that song. That song really speaks to my journey these last almost 16 years since my injury. And how every experience I've gone through has shaped me into this person I am today. You know, they're not all great experiences. Some of them have been extremely difficult. But without those situations, I wouldn't be the strong, resilient person that I am today. And every time I've gone through an obstacle and I've overcome it and some things come my way and I've gotten stronger and better for it, I've like left this sawdust on the floor. And it's carving me into this empowered version of myself today. Every day I'm a different person. With every experience, I'm a different person. And I grow and I evolve. And I hope to continue doing this forever and ever and ever. Because all of these experiences shape us into the people we are. And as much as it was very painful to go through these experiences these last few years, I wouldn't change my journey because I'm proud of who I am.
Yeah. And so what's in store for Robbie Hart in the future?
Well, I want to record as many songs as I can because I want to get the message out. I want to share my music with people to inspire them, to uplift them, and to empower them, or just to have them sing along with me. I'd love to get out to the communities who've been supporting me and my music all these years. I would love to get out there and meet the fans and the radio stations who've been giving me so much support because that's very important to me. My favorite part of this entire journey is the people. And for me, it's about connecting with the people. So I would love to get out and get to visit those communities as much as possible. And, you know, writing is such an important part of my process because it's how I heal. It's how I process my experiences. And I can't wait to write and record more songs.
Well, and hopefully in that process, you're helping other people who maybe haven't come as far as you in dealing with their acquired disability and helping to inspire folks to try a little harder, do a little bit more, and reach for those dreams that they had that they thought they could never achieve.
You know, I hope that's true, and I hope that I do inspire people. I know that for myself, breaking down things into smaller pieces sometimes helps because sometimes we look at the big picture and we say, there's no way. Like, if you would have told me, Vicki, like, I don't know, 10 years ago that I'd be doing this and I'd be on your show talking about this, I would laugh at you. I'd say, are you kidding me? I can't even carry on a proper sentence. I can't sing. But now I'm playing guitar and I'm doing this. And I just went to Nashville and by myself and I've gone to places by myself to tour. So if you break things down to smaller, more manageable pieces, sometimes you're not looking at the very big picture, but you're taking these small steps that lead to a very big destination. And I feel like sometimes we limit ourselves because we look at something and it's daunting and say, oh my God, I can't do that. That's huge. That's impossible. But breaking it down into small steps and achieving those things one by one or little by little, it leads to big steps to a really big path that's very meaningful. And I hope that anybody who's out there hesitating to take this path or a path to something that they love finds a way to break it down into manageable pieces so that they can enjoy doing what they love. Because there's nothing greater than doing that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I can hear that. I can hear the passion in your voice for sure. And so
thank you.
Where can people go to get more information about you and the music that you have produced?
They can visit my website, which is www.robbiehart.com. That's RobbieHart.com. On my website, they'll learn about me, and there are links to my music on the various platforms. Or you can find me on social media. I'm at Robbie Hart Official. I'd love to hear from you, and let me know what song resonated with you the most. Of course, I'm on all the streaming platforms. It's Robbie Hart, R-O-B-B-I-E-H-A-R-T-E.
Yeah, that's I think the information people need. And we're going to go out with another song that you just recently recorded, which I think a lot of people are familiar with. Talk a little bit about your version of Hallelujah and what that means to you.
Thank you. I am thrilled that I got to record my own rendition of this song and release it, especially during this time of the year where there's so much and so much feeling out there. Hallelujah means so much to so many different people. I think everybody has a different interpretation of the song. For me, it was the first song I wanted to sing and record after I started singing again because it meant so much to me, and it was such a healing song for me. But the song is just such an incredible song, and it really helps me through a lot of hard nights when I couldn't sleep because of my situation. I listened to Jeff Buckley and his breath for hours and hours on repeat with this song, and I hope that my rendition gives people comfort, brings them peace, and it makes them feel powerful. This is a song that I love and I know so many people love, and I hope that they enjoy my scaled-down rendition of this song.
I'm sure they will, Robbie. Thank you so much for joining me today. Robbie Hart, singer, songwriter, and disability activist. I appreciate you.
Thank you so much for having me, and thank you to your listeners.
Well, I heard there was a secret chord that David played, and it pleased the Lord, but you don't really care for music, do ya? Well, it goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift, the baffled king composing hallelujah. It's a call.